little before the garden was there. In fact, many of the trees outside here on the Prikkamamarg were planted when we cooperated with WWF for reforesting Vrindavan. So many of these trees along here were planted by us. And this beautiful garden was made to show how whole Vrindavan could look if everybody just planted a couple of trees and put a little water. Whole Vrindavan could look like that garden. And on this side, we have our Goshala with Krishna and Balaram's cows. They're all coming to say hi to you. We have over 200 animals, including all the cows, calves, and bulls here. And at the Goshala shop, you can get nice, hot, pure cow's milk from Krishna and Balaram's cows. Here at this very sacred place, we will begin our parikrama of Sri Vrindavan Dham by invoking the very auspicious blessings of Srila Prabhupada and our previous acharyas by chanting Mangala Charanam together. Om Agyan Timidandasya Yananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Nilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurude Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tishvapadantikam. Louder, please.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadhadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Tadam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Desatarine Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Pirsaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Trinamine Srivarshabhanavi Devi Daitaya Vipadhaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Dhaine Prabhave Namaha Madhu Yodhra Premadhyā Sri Rupanuga Bhaktiva Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostate Namaste Gauravani Sri Murtaye Dinatharine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Vantaharine Namo Gaura Kishwaraya Sakshat Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambara Sambodhe Adambodhaya Te Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Satchidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Vagaya Te Gaura Vibhava Bhumeswam Nirdeshta Sajjana Priya Vaishnava Sarvabhomasi Jagannathaya Te Namaha Vamshakalpa Tadubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Mahadarnaya Krishna Prema Tadayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha Panchatattvātmakam Krishnam Bhaktarūpāsvarūpakam Bhaktāvatāram Bhaktākhyam Namāmi Bhaktashaktikam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Chayatam Suratau Pangor Mama Manda Matirkati Matsarvasva Padam Bojao Radha Madana Mohanao Divya Vrindaranya Kalpatunatha Sriman Ratnakara Simhasanastao Shri Radha Sila Govinda Devao Vrishthari Vishe Vyamano Smarami Sriman Rasara Sarambi Vam Srivata Tatastita Karshan Venu Sranay Gopi Govinata Sri Estunaha Tapanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Giradhar Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare
Millennium is about to close its final chapter. It is the year 1999, and we see around us in the world how material nature is performing a very extraordinary last act. Earthquakes in Taiwan, Turkey, Mexico, Greece, California, all within the last few months. Hurricanes in Florida, cyclones in India, terrible droughts, plagues, floods, imminent wars being created. Abramabhuvana loka punaravatanojana. Amupeti pukonteya punara janmana vidyate. From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest, they are all places of misery. The one who takes shelter of Krishna attains his abode, which is eternal, full of knowledge, and full of unlimited happiness. This is our last yatra of this millennium. We have come to Sri Vrindavan Dham not as a vacation, but as a very sacred and blessed opportunity to surrender our lives in the loving service of Krishna and his devotees. Every moment while we are here, we should consider it the most precious blessing of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada has explained, quoting Vishnu Purana, that there is no greater disaster than wasting a precious moment of this human form of life. Every moment is so precious, because death could come at any moment.
And we should be prepared at every moment to remember Krishna at the time of our death. But when we have the opportunity to be in the holy realm of the Lord's personal abode, Vrindavan, how extraordinarily and unlimitedly precious is every moment we have here. We will be here for only 1 week. We should not waste a single moment of speaking anything but the glories of the Lord. We should not speak anything other than that which is inspiring and enlightening to all the devotees around us. We should not be in any way afraid to commit or to perform any austerities. We should be eager to serve. Vrindavan is the place where the predominating deity is Srimati Radharani. And we cannot approach Srimati Radharani except through, with humility and sincerity, serving her devotees. So let this be our spirit, to be in an utter mood of cooperation and service toward all Vaishnavas. We should be very, very careful to avoid offenses. In Vrindavan Dham, whatever actions, words, or thoughts, 1,000 times the benefits we get than any other time or any other place. And during the month of Kartik, which is the month of Srimati Radharani, that benediction is increased thousands of times. But at the same time, any offense we commit with our body or with our speech, the reactions will also increase 1,000 times. That is the mercy of the Holy Dham. So how very, very careful we should be to utilize every moment to purify our hearts. Because in fact, this is the exclusive purpose of human existence, to purify our hearts. Lord Chaitanya prayed, na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishwari bhavatad bhakti rahayita kitvaye. I do not want any amount of wealth or anything that wealth can buy. Nor do I want the company of beautiful women. I do not want prestige or fame of this world. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explained that the prestige, the adoration that we receive in this world is as abominable as the dung of a boar. We should not seek these things. Nor do we even desire liberation. Mahaprabhu taught our only aspiration should be birth after birth after birth, to be immersed in the highest platform of being the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. So this is why we have come to Vrindavan. We have come as beggars. We have come emptying our hearts, emptying our minds of all our egoistic perceptions and conceptions. We have come to roll in the sacred dust of Vrindavan, which is mixed with the dust from the feet of the devotees and the dust of the feet of Sri Sri Radha Krishna and their eternal associates, and to beg for real humility, beg for real detachment, beg for real genuine enthusiasm to serve the Supreme Lord with a pure heart. Srila Prabhupada explained what pleases him most is to love Krishna. Vrindavan is the abode. Since time immemorial, people have come to beg for love of Krishna. This holy land, we would like to speak something briefly about. Goloka Vrindavan is the supreme most of all the Vaikuntha planets in the spiritual world. Far beyond the Vaikuntha planets, in transcendental, ecstatic, loving reciprocations, is Krishna Loka. In Krishna Loka, there is Mathura, Dwarka, and Vrindavan. Of the three, Vrindavan stands supreme, because it is here that Sri Sri Radha Krishna, the original fountainheads of all other incarnations, of all other aspects of the Absolute Truth, are eternally performing their most intimate lila of love. Along with Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, they expand themselves in unlimited forms to participate in this pastimes of pure devotion, of divine ecstasy. Once in every day of Brahma, Krishna in his original form descends into this material universe. Srimati Radharani cannot go anywhere without the abode of Vrindavan. Therefore, on the basis of her love for all living entities, along with Lord Krishna, she and the abode of Vrindavan descend into this world. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that this Gokul Vrindavan in the material world is utterly non-different than the Vrindavan in the spiritual planet of Krishna Loka. In Vrindavan, everything is conscious. Every aspect of this abode is pure consciousness. Every living being has only one desire, to give pleasure to Sri Sri Radha and Shyam Sundara. Krishna fulfills everyone's desires. The ground is Chintamani. Every speck of dust of Brajbhumi is more precious, more valuable than all the wealth in all the Vaikuntha planets. This has been revealed by our great acharyas. And every grain of dust is a conscious living being eternally meditating on making himself or herself extremely soft, pleasing, fragrant, and beautiful for the pleasure of Krishna. Every tree is Kalpa Vriksha. It is a desire tree that could fulfill all one's desires. At every moment, for all eternity, these trees are offering beautiful flowers and fruits for the pleasure of Krishna. The breeze of Vrindavan is eternally presenting herself in such a way just for the pleasure of Krishna and his devotees. The birds are singing, the bees are humming, the peacocks are dancing, the monkeys are playing, the gopas, the gopis, the river Jamuna, Govardhan, everything is simply manifesting their desire for the pleasure of Radha and Krishna. And in the spiritual world, Krishna fulfills whatever desire his devotee has. Therefore, the devotees have unlimited desire to please Krishna. Therefore, Krishna gives every living being of Vrindavan the unlimited capacity to please him. Each flower is unlimitedly, ever increasingly beautiful, ever increasingly fragrant, ever increasingly full of ras. This is the abode of Vrindavan. Here Krishna performed his loving leelas with his divine associates, especially for the purpose to attract the hearts of all living beings back to their original position of his eternal servants. The land of Vrindavan stands supreme amongst all holy places. It is explained in our shastras that one time all the holy places came to the coronation of Prayag as the king of all holy places. But Vrindavan did not come. And Krishna explained why. Because Vrindavan is not a holy place that has anything to do with this material world. It is the supreme ultimate of all holy places. And all holy places, including Prayag, come to Sri Vrindavan Dham to gain the greatest benediction of divine attraction for the loving service of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. After Krishna returned to the spiritual world, he continues to perform his pastimes in Vrindavan in an unmanifested state. Unmanifested in the sense that it cannot be seen with the mortal eyes or heard with the mortal ears. But as Brahma explains in Brahma Samhita, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena, when our eyes are anointed with the decorative ointment of pure love, when our senses are purified of all materialistic ego, then we can perceive Krishna, and we can actually perceive the divine pastimes in Vrindavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. When he appeared after taking initiation from Ishwarapuri in Gaya, the first thing he wanted to do was come to Vrindavan. In the middle of the night, without telling anyone, he started running to Vrindavan. It was at that time that celestial voice told him, "My dear Lord, you have come to inaugurate the Harinam Sankirtan movement, to teach everyone how they can achieve Vrindavan through the divine chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Hare."
Now you go to Navadvip. You establish the Sankirtan movement, and later you will go to Vrindavan. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas from Keshav Bharati Maharaj in Katpa, just after the sannyas ceremony, Mahaprabhu immediately said, "We will go to Vrindavan." And in great ecstatic love and separation from Sri Vrindavan Dham, he began his journey. But Lord Nityananda Prabhu knew the heart of the Lord, that ultimately to please his devotee is his greatest desire. So Nityananda Prabhu tricked Lord Chaitanya to go to Shantipur to meet his devotees. And there Sachi Devi and the devotees, they begged the Lord, "Please, if you go to Vrindavan, it is so far away, we will not hear anything of your divine pastimes. go to Puri, because Krishna is living there in the form of Lord Jagannath. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that while Lord Chaitanya was in Puri, he was seeing Jagannath as the Lord of Vrindavan, always longing to come here. He begged his devotees, "Let me go to Vrindavan." They tried to stop him and somehow or other delay his journey year after year. During his first attempt, millions upon millions of people followed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on his pilgrimage to Vrindavan. It was at that time in Ramkeli that Sanatan Goswami said, "Better you go with only a few people. To go to Vrindavan with such large group, it will be very difficult." So the Lord took his advice and went back. During his second attempt, he roamed through the Jarikanda forest, came to Mathura, and ultimately came to the 12 forests of Vrindavan. Kaviraj Goswami explains, when Mahaprabhu was in Puri, the thought of Vrindavan increased his ecstasy hundreds of times. When he was roaming through the Jarikanda forest in expectation of reaching Vrindavan, that ecstasy increased hundreds of times. When the Lord came to the city of Mathura, that ecstasy increased thousands of times. And when he roamed through the 12 forests of Vrindavan, that ecstasy increased unlimitedly. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here on the Kartik Purnima and stayed 2 months, when for the pleasure of his devotees, he returned to Jagannath Puri. But he explained to Rupa and Sanatan Goswami that my mother has given me a place in Puri. I cannot live in Vrindavan, but it is my great, great desire that on my behalf you live in Vrindavan. I will perform my pastimes in Vrindavan through you. Vrindavan was very much forgotten by the world. Over the thousands and thousands of years since Krishna performed his lila here, many of the holy places were forgotten. It was a dense forest, practically no temples. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted this to be a holy place for the whole world to come and become purified and enrich their devotion to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Thus, he sent Rupa and Sanatan Goswami with the mission of excavating the holy places, building temples, exhibiting the true behavior of Vaishnavism, and establishing the highest principles of pure devotional service through writing literatures, extracting the essence of all the Vedic literatures. Previous to them, Nityananda Prabhu lived here in the mood of Balaram. Madhavendra Puri lived here, experiencing the great ecstasies of Krishna consciousness. Advaitacharya Prabhu, he lived at Advaitavat, worshipping the Lord Madan Gopal. When Rupa and Sanatan came, and later they were joined by Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, Srila Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, and Srila Jiva Goswami. These six Goswamis lived here, roaming from forest to forest in the ecstasies of love of Krishna. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, Raghunath Das Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, they had such immense wealth. They were multi-millionaires with beautiful palaces, huge sums of money, jewels, gold, power, influence. They were young, they were handsome, they had wonderful families. They had everything materially anyone could possibly want. But they left it all to come to Vrindavan. Mahaprabhu wanted to show the world what is real wealth through them. They slept in the dust of Vrindavan. They considered laying in this dust greater opulence by millions of times than living in their beautiful palaces. They would sleep under a different tree every night. They would beg like beggars, door to door from the Brijavasis to get some dry roti or some fried chickpeas. To them, this tasted more delicious than the most succulent foods cooked by the most expert chefs in their kingdoms. They wore only the discarded cloth of the Brijavasis, and then only two little pieces, a kopan and a chadar. The six Goswamis lived in Vrindavan in such a way to demonstrate that the greatest aspiration, the greatest achievement in all of existence is to absorb one's consciousness in the loving service of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. If we examine our disciplic succession, Sri Vrindavan Dham is always most prominent. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami resided in Vrindavan, where he wrote the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. After him, Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, they studied with Jiva Goswami here in Vrindavan. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur left his beautiful young wife, left his home, left everything to reside here in Vrindavan on the banks of Sri Radha Kund, or sometimes at the Radha Gokulananda temple. Baladev Vidyabhushan was a resident of Vrindavan, writing great, great transcendental literatures. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, both lived at Surya Kund for many, many long years, worshipping Vrindavan Dham. Bhaktivinod Thakur, he has house, we have seen, on the banks of Sri Radha Kund. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his illustrious son, he would take thousands and thousands of people on the Braj Mandala Parikrama during the month of Kartik. And our beloved spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to prepare himself for his mission of spreading Krishna consciousness throughout the world, came to make his home Vrindavan. For 6 years he lived at Sri Sri Radha Damodar Mandir at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa Goswami. That is where he manifested to the world the first three volumes of his most merciful translations of Srimad Bhagavatam. It was from Vrindavan Dham that Srila Prabhupada departed to fulfill the prophecy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu, to fulfill the desire of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to bring the glories of Vrindavan. He lived at Sri Sri Radha Damodar Mandir at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa Goswami. That is where he manifested to the world the first three volumes of his most merciful translations of Srimad Bhagavatam. It was from Vrindavan Dham that Srila Prabhupada departed to fulfill the prophecy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu. To fulfill the desire of Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. To bring the glories of Vrindavan and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement, the means of achieving Vrindavan, to the whole world. Srila Prabhupada called Vrindavan his home. As our father, that makes Vrindavan the home for all of us. In fact, it is the eternal home for all devotees of our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. So when we look at Vrindavan today, sometimes due to our mundane vision, we see what appears to be reality. We see things are oftentimes in a dilapidated condition. Dogs, very, very diseased-looking dogs barking, hogs roaming around, rolling in the sewage of the gutters. We see the state of the river Jamuna. We see sometimes garbage. In fact, sometimes people, they come long, long distance. One man from Germany traveled all the way from Germany to Delhi, Delhi to Mathura, just to come to Vrindavan. But on the way to Vrindavan, when he saw cow dung all over the street, he considered this so abominable that without even coming here, he returned to Mathura, to Delhi, and then took plane back to Germany. If this is true, that Vrindavan appears to be what we see it, then why all of these great acharyas made their home here? Why they worshipped this place and wrote thousands upon thousands of literatures in glorification of the place that we are sitting today? Why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu longed throughout his life to come here? From the example of these great acharyas and the Lord himself, we must understand that we will see Vrindavan not through our eyes, but through the faith of our heart, which is awakened through hearing from the holy scriptures and from the great devotees of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada explained that it is one of the influences of Kali Yuga that we come to a holy place to take our bath without associating with and hearing from the great Vaishnavas. It is in the association of the sadhus, by hearing from them, that we can begin to understand and appreciate the glories of Vrindavan Dham. We must see through our ears. We must see through the faith that we derive by the association of the Vaishnavas. And with that faith, we should pray. The more we see Vrindavan on the material plane, the more we should helplessly fall at the lotus feet of Sri Guru and the Vaishnavas, begging for mercy. The contaminations of our heart are so immense, since time immemorial we have been accumulating these anarthas. Narottam Das Thakur prayed, Vishayacha diya kabe sudahabe mana kabe hama heribo Sri Vrindavan Dham. When will that day be when I will be free from all desire for material enjoyment? It is on that day that I will be able to see Vrindavan as it is. This attachment to material enjoyment and prestige is so deeply rooted within our hearts, until that is removed through chanting the holy names, hearing the glories of the Lord and serving the devotees, we cannot really appreciate Vrindavan, nor can we really appreciate the transcendental pastimes of Lord Krishna. Vrindavan is none different than Krishna himself. It is the expansion of Krishna's internal pleasure-giving potency. Lord Balaramji, the original spiritual master, expands himself as the abode of Vrindavan. To perceive Vrindavan as it is only possible through pleasing Krishna, through pleasing Vrindavan Dham. Ye yathamam prapadyante tam sthitaiva bhajamyaham. Krishna reveals himself as we approach him. Prabhupada explained, if you approach the deity as a piece of stone, the deity will appear to you as stone forever. Similarly, Vrindavan is Krishna, none different than Krishna. Every tree, every grain of dust, everything in Vrindavan. And as we approach Sri Vrindavan Dham, that is how Vrindavan Dham will reveal herself to us. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati would say, do not try to see Krishna, but try to serve Krishna in such a way that he wants to see you. So our experience here in Vrindavan during this yatra will be real according to the degree we have this desire to serve. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he revealed to us the formula by which all spiritual perfection can be received. Trinadapi sunichena tadorapi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. The Lord came to establish the Yuga Dharma, which is the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Within this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the divine abode of the Lord with all of his opulences and all of his pastimes are contained. All spiritual perfection can be achieved in this age of Kali Yuga only through chanting of the holy names. Lord Chaitanya is Radha in Krishna. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to experience the ecstasies of Sri Radharani's love. Therefore he assumed the sentimental complexion of Sri Radharani and descended into this world to give that love to everyone and anyone who would simply accept it. And how do we accept it? Through taking his mercy in the form of his instructions to sincerely and offenselessly chant his holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
But how to chant the holy names? We must make our goal of life to become more humble than the blade of grass, more tolerant than the tree, ready to offer all respect to others, to expect none in return. In this way, Krishna will be pleased upon us, and he will empower us to constantly chant his holy names. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Ram. Hare Ram. Ram Ram. Hare Hare.
This is our mission in Vrindavan, to be constantly chanting the holy names and glories of the Lord, and to be constantly immersed in serving the Lord's devotees. By doing this, our pilgrimage will bear the real fruit of increasing our love and devotion to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. We are sitting at the holy place Kaliya Ghat. It was here that Krishna performed this most extraordinary pastime of delivering the Kaliya Naga. This pastime is very instructive, and it is very appropriate that we begin our yatra here, because the lesson is so vital to bring us to the proper consciousness to worship the land of Vrindavan. We have not come to see Vrindavan. We have come to worship Vrindavan by worshiping the Lord and His devotees. So Krishna with the gopas were herding cows near this place. When the calves and the cowherd boys, the cows, they drank the water that was here. It was a lake within the river Jamuna. When they drank that water, they fell to the ground dead. How is that possible? The demoniac serpent, Kaliya, was residing within the waters of the lake. Previously, in order to escape the wrath of Garuda, he came to this place because Garuda accepted willingly the curse of Sobari Muni to never come here. Kaliya was so envious that his envy personified in the form of his poison. We can understand that whatever envy is within our heart, it is poisoning our consciousness. It is poisoning any, it is poisoning our inclination for devotional service. The heart can be compared to a lake, and due to our envy, our lake has become a very, very, very terrible place. The lake of our heart. This lake within Jamuna, due to the poison, it was bubbling, boiling, literally boiling and foaming with terrible black fumes coming from above it. And any tree, any bird that flew overhead, or any vegetation anywhere near it would immediately die. Except this one kadamba tree, which remained by the mercy of Lord Krishna. So, when Krishna saw his friends dead, he cast his merciful glance upon them. This is very significant. Spiritually, we are all dead. But when Krishna casts his merciful glance upon us, that can awaken our spiritual consciousness. And in what form does Krishna's glance come upon us? Krishna glances upon us through the mercy of his devotees, through their instructions, through their inspiration. Krishna is glancing upon us to bring us back to spiritual life. Krishna wanted to do away with this great nuisance to the peaceful environment of Vrindavan. This very same kadamba tree Krishna climbed upon. He tightened his belt. He adjusted his turban. He waved his arms like a wrestler. And calling out to his friends, "Do not fear, see what I will do." He jumped from this holy Kadamba tree into the river. The lake that he jumped into at that time is right where you are all sitting. Krishna began to move his arms in such a way, although he was a small child, it created such a commotion that these black, burning, hot, boiling waves, foaming with poison, began to overflood the banks of the lake. It created such a commotion that Kaliya, who was living beneath with his wives and children, became terribly disturbed. "Who is this? How is this possible that anyone has come to disturb me in my abode?" When he saw Lord Krishna, he immediately wrapped himself around Krishna's body. When the gopas saw the coils of Kaliya around the tender, soft, beautiful form of Shyam Sundar, they could not bear it. They were weeping, crying. It was so painful to them that they fell to the ground unconscious. Meanwhile, inauspicious omens manifested themselves everywhere in Vrindavan. The sun lost its luster. The sky became gray. Inauspicious noises were coming in all directions. Seeing this, the only thing that the Brijavasis could think is for the protection and safety of Krishna. They all began to follow his beautiful footprints to find where he may be. And they came to this holy place of the lake of Kaliya. When they saw Govindaji wrapped up in the coils of this hideous 100-hooded snake Kaliya, due to their natural affection, thinking himself to be their lover, their child, or their friend, it was unbearable. They were praying to the gods to save Krishna. The demigods in the heavens, they were practically unconscious in grief seeing Krishna in this position. Mother Yashoda, she desired to jump in the river Jamuna. If she could not help, she could not live. She felt like a cow that had just lost her calf. But Balaramji told the Brijabasis that, "I know the strength and power of my brother. This insignificant little water snake cannot hurt him. There is no danger." Meanwhile, Nanda Maharaj was weeping, crying, groaning. The gopas and the gopis, they were literally falling again and again unconscious in grief. When they were all just on the verge of death, Krishna decided to give his devotees special pleasure. Krishna expanded himself. And then he slipped out of the coils of Kaliya. Kaliya, meanwhile, bit Krishna in the chest. But Krishna pushed his head down and jumped upon one of his hoods. There, Lord Sri Gopinath began to dance. Such a dance no one has ever seen. The 100 hoods of Kaliya were moving at top speed, trying to somehow or other bite Krishna, eat Krishna, kill Krishna. But Krishna effortlessly, fearlessly, very gracefully danced. As he danced, he was so very beautiful that the Brijabasis, they were immersed in transcendental ecstasy. The demigods, seeing the dance of Krishna, they began to play beautiful instruments like mandangas and horns. And they were trying to somehow or other play the instruments, beautiful music, just according to Krishna's dancing steps. Sometimes Krishna would dance very slow, sometimes medium pace, sometimes very, very fast. How he was dancing, his limbs were the very essence of all beauty. Dancing from one hood to the next hood to the next hood of Kaliya. This divine performance brought such unlimited pleasure to the residents of Vrindavan. But at the same time, they were so fearful of Kaliya. Krishna danced and danced and danced until Kaliya, instead of flames coming out of his mouth, he started vomiting all of his poison. His hoods shrunk down. He could not even expand them any longer. He was losing his vision. He became blind. He was utterly weakened. How is this possible? The same two lotus feet of Krishna that are so soft that the Brajagopis, they weep and cry to think that those feet might touch a pebble in the ground. They think that the softest part of his of their bodies may cause harm to Krishna's very, very, very soft lotus feet. Krishna reveals himself according to how we approach him. To Kaliya, Krishna's tiny little lotus-like feet were like thunderbolts. And each graceful step of his dance upon Kaliya was like that thunderbolt crushing his head. It was unbearable. Actually, when we chant the holy names of the Lord, we are calling Krishna to purify our hearts. And sometimes the process of purification is not so pleasing to the mind and senses. In fact, sometimes the process of purification is very, very painful. Why? Because we still have these attributes of Kaliya. We still have this poison in our hearts. Therefore, even serving Vaishnavas, chanting the holy names, even sitting here in Vrindavan, hearing this katha, is painful to our minds. But we need this pain. It is required. It is like Krishna dancing upon us, cleansing us. And just as Kaliya vomited more and more and more and more of his poison, similarly, through hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, all the poison of our hearts has to come out. So when we follow the process of bhakti, we are inviting Krishna to dance upon us. Let him dance, let him dance, let all the poison come out, endure that pain until you are pure. Kaliya was lost. He was on the verge of death. It was at that time that his wives, the Nagapatnis, with folded palms, prayed to Lord Krishna. The Nagapatnis were great devotees. They loved Krishna. They prayed that our husband is a serpent. Therefore, serpents are by nature envious and cruel. But by your causeless mercy, you have danced upon his heads. And those same lotus footprints that Brahma, Shiva, and all the great devatas and rishis and sages are longing to see, you are placing them on the very heads of our husband. Therefore, we can understand that this Naga, this envious Naga Kaliya, is most fortunate. He has received your mercy. Now, he is in a humble state of mind. Now, he is surrendering to you. Please forgive him and give him his life service. Krishna was so pleased with the prayers of the Nagapatnis, he told them, I was prepared to kill this demon Kaliya for all the problems he has caused to the residents of Vrindavan. But by your prayers I will deliver him. This is a very important instruction. If we are envious, if we are sinful, we cannot approach Krishna directly. But through the intervention and the prayers of his dear devotees, Krishna will forgive us. Krishna will give us his mercy. This is the eternal truth that must be very, very carefully understood. Jagai and Madhai, they were delivered by the prayers of Nityananda Prabhu. When devotees ask Srila Prabhupada, how is it? How is it possible we are being given the opportunity for devotional service to Krishna, the highest platform of all spirituality? We are so sinful, we are so fallen. What is our qualification? Srila Prabhupada explained, you have no qualification. I have made your qualification. By Srila Prabhupada's prayers to Krishna to be merciful to us, he has come and given us his mercy. And by those prayers alone are we entitled to the right of chanting the holy names properly and engaging in the path of perfection. So how much grateful we should be to Srila Prabhupada. And how much grateful we should be to each and every devotee who is dear to Srila Prabhupada. And how much grateful we should be to each and every one of our Vaishnava associates here in this yatra who is come to share the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and Sri Sri Radha Krishna with us, and help us in the path of detachment, knowledge, and devotion. Krishna gave life and gave love to Kaliya. He said, you have no more fear of Garuda, because when he sees my footprints on your hoods, he will honor you and respect you as a Vaishnava. Now you go to the ocean and you reside there. Since that time, all of the previous acharyas have come here to Kaliya Ghat to pray for the mercy of Lord Sri Krishna. It is here that we are beginning our Braj Yatra. It is here that we, who all, to some extent, have these propensities of Kaliya, envy, lust, cruelty, it is here that we should pray, let me become humble. Let me appreciate your glories. Let me serve your devotees. Let me become purified. We should helplessly pray that throughout this 7-day yatra of Sri Vrindavan Dham, we can immerse our consciousness in the aspiration to become truly purified and genuine, sincere devotees of the Lord. Krishna is not attracted by any show. Krishna is attracted by sincerity and humility. It is my very, very great fortune to welcome all of you here to Vrindavan Dham, and it is my prayer that each and every one of you receives the causeless mercy of Sri Guru and Gauranga, and that when we leave this place, it is only with our bodies, but that Sri Vrindavan Dham remain always manifested within our heart of hearts. Today we are blessed by the association of many wonderful, wonderful devotees. We do not have time to speak of all of them, but I would like to speak very briefly about some of our very dear God brothers and God sisters that are here, and beg all of you to very enthusiastically and loudly welcome them. First of all, we have His Holiness Chandramali Maharaj, very humble, sincere, and genuine devotee, who you all know very well. He has traveled all the way from Chicago. Chicago is famous for gangsters and cow slaughter. He's preaching in that place. He has come all this way just to give us his association in Vrindavan. Please let us welcome Chandramali. We also have the king of Brijabasis, Dinabandhu Prabhu. There's no introduction that is suitable. He personifies Vrindavan. Wherever he travels in the world, he speaks the glories of Vrindavan. And he so kindly agreed to come with us for almost every place during the yatra. It's not sufficient yet. Dinabandhu Prabhu is one of the very, very senior disciples of Srila Prabhupada. And anyone who comes to Vrindavan is longing for him to take them around and with his great enthusiasm and devotion narrate the pastimes of Vrindavan. There happens to be so many yatras going around, but somehow or other, out of his very, very great love and kindness upon us, he has joined us today. So let us very loudly welcome Dinabandhu. Another dear God brother, Karusha Prabhu. Where is Karusha Prabhu? Can you stand up, please? Karusha Prabhu has done such incredible austerities. He is one of the most important persons who built Srila Prabhupada's palace at New Vrindavan, Prabhupada's Pushpa Samadhi. Every single piece of marble that is in that palace was cut or polished by Karusha Prabhu. in order to complete Srila Prabhupada's Pushpa Samadhi, he was working sometimes shifts that were practically 24 hours. One time a massive, massive block of marble fell right on his body. He was in critical condition and his bones were broken and his jaw was broken. And as soon as they put his body back together, he was immediately serving again, polishing and cutting the marble. He's really a very determined and wonderful devotee. This is the first time he's ever been to India. He came in about 1974 or 75, and he would always tell me, my goal in life, I must go to India. But somehow or other, Krishna kept him in separation. And this is his first time in Vrindavan Dham. He so kindly agreed to be with us during our yatra. Let us welcome Karusha Prabhu.
Hare
Krishna! He's more enthusiastic about Braj than even me.
We also have from Gita Nagari, Kalini Mataji. Can you please stand up? She's one of the very, very senior disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Very famous within the hearts of devotees for her steadiness, her loyalty, her devotion. She's really an incredibly amazing devotee. She was the pujari for Sri Sri Radha Damodar in Gita Nagari for many years. She was the president of Gita Nagari for some time, I believe. And her devotion, her sincerity, her Vaishnava qualities is something that we should all be longing to learn from. So please, all you Matajis, try to serve her nicely and observe her and seek her association. She's one of Srila Prabhupada's very, very treasured daughters. Thank you for coming. Let us welcome her to the yatra.
Mother Ganga is here in the lecture.
Can you say something? What is his name?
Ganga Gati from Alachua.
Mother Ganga Gati from Alachua. Where is Mataji? Dinabandhu Prabhu is praising her very nicely. Let us welcome her. So at this time we would like to ask Dinabandhu Prabhu to speak something. And then the program today is going to be like this. We're going to visit some of the temples, but we're only going to speak very briefly at the temples today. We'll go to Madan Mohan Temple, then we'll go through Banki Bihari Temple. On the way we'll stop and have darshan of Advaita Bhat. From there we'll go to Radha Shamsundar Temple, then Radha Damodar Temple. Radha Damodar Temple will spend some time speaking the glories of Srila Prabhupada and Sri Rupa Jiva Goswamis. And after that we will, if possible, pass through Shringarbhat and Imlital, and then go to Keshi Ghat. At Keshi Ghat, we will have a very special ceremony. We will submerse the ashes of the body of our beloved Vaishnav Abhiram Thakur in the sacred, divine, ambrosial waters of the Jamuna. It was his desire that his ashes be placed in the Jamuna. And we have a special surprise that Dravida Prabhu, who is the senior editor of the BBT at this time, he has compose spontaneously a sloka in honor of Abhiram Gopal Thakur. And it will be read for the first time at Keshi Ghat today. Then we will take our bath in Keshi Ghat and return for prasad and then continue in the afternoon. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Om Ajnana Chimarandasya Jnanam Jnana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svaparandi Adadanas Trinandantai Ridam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padambujo Dulisyam Janma Janmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So as His Holiness Radhanath Swami has so beautifully explained to us, we're sitting here in this very wonderful place of Kaliya Ghat. Previously Jamuna was flowing just here, and it was actually a lake of water. Today, by Radhanath Swami's mercy, it has become a lake of Vaishnavas. So, because such a huge lake of wonderful Vaishnavas have come, therefore I've come here to bathe in that lake of Vaishnavas to, as Maharaj pointed out, we have to get all this envy and all these things out of our hearts, so I'm hoping that by association of all those wonderful, enthusiastic Vaishnavas from Bombay and all over the world, so many devotees are also here. So by bathing in their association, that maybe something will come out of my heart. And we're sitting here underneath this very, very ancient kadamba tree. Kadamba trees, they grow extremely slow. You will never, hardly anywhere, I've never seen one anywhere this massive. I'll give you an example, right by the guest house gate, as you're coming in the guest house gate, Krishna Balaram guest house gate, our god sister Devi Shakti, she planted a little tiny kadamba tree probably back, I think it was 1976 or 1977. So that would make it about 22 years old. You probably never even noticed it was there. They grow very, very slow. So one this massive. Now there's actually, Prabhupada explains, there's actually two stories about this tree. Unfortunately, we're unable to see the flowers. The flowers are very beautiful. If you look closely, you can see the little black seed pods. Because a kadamba flower is not one flower, it's a little ball full of little tiny yellow flowers. It comes in little balls like this. They start coming out in June and then through the July and August in the rainy season. And we make beautiful. You see all the ladies on the side of the temple, they're making garlands, so they love to collect from our guest house kadamba tree, the beautiful little kadamba flowers, and make garlands for Krishna and Balaram, because Krishna, he loves these kadamba flowers, because they're so beautifully golden color, just like Srimati Radhika. But you can just see the little black seed pods there. They're round, just like the kadamba flowers. So this one, Prabhupada explains, two stories are there actually. As Maharaj told us, everything around this Kaliya lake had died, all the trees had died, everything had died. Even if a bird flew over this lake, he just flew over it. By the poisonous fumes, he died and fell into the lake. So one story is, that this tree was also, this Kadamba tree had also died. But as soon as Lord Krishna with his transcendental feet touched this Kadamba tree, because he climbed in this Kadamba tree and flapped his arms like a wrestler and then jumped like a big, made a big splash into the Kaliya lake. So at that time, being touched by the lotus feet of Shyam Sundar, this Kadamba tree became immortal. Another story is there, Prabhupada says in the Puranas, that Garuda, understanding that in the future Lord Krishna will appear here and jump into this lake, he put some nectar onto this Kadamba tree, so that even though all this poison was there and he was growing right on the banks, he was still alive. So this Kadamba tree may be 5 million years old. He may be 5,000 years old. Now the Brishpazis, they tell me, if you notice, that you see that it appears that one trunk is falling down here. So the Brishpazis, they all explain to me that actually what happens, this tree eternally rejuvenates. The old trunk, you see, has fallen down. Another one has come up. That will gradually, one day he will fall down. Another one will come like that. He's eternally rejuvenating himself. You see, the trunk, you see, has fallen down. Another one has come up. That will gradually, one day he will fall down. Another one will come like that. He's eternally rejuvenating himself. You see, the old trunk is falling just here. I don't know, but that's Brishbazis. Many Brishbazis have told me this story. And this other chatri, just behind us over here, in front of you, on the other side, there's beautiful murti of Kaliya Daman, Kaliya Krishna, Krishna dancing, as Maharaj so beautifully described, dancing, wonderful dance on top of those hoods of Kali you can see in this tiny little shrine here. And behind these buildings over here, behind that little shrine, is the Samadhi Mandir of Srila Prabodhanand Saraswati. Now Prabodhanand Saraswati, as many of you may know, he was the uncle of Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Because during this very Chaturmasya season, this is the last month of Chaturmasya, Mahaprabhu stayed there in Sri Rangam with the brother of Prabodhanand Saraswati, Srila Venkata Bhatta Goswami. So for 4 months they got Mahaprabhu's association, so Prabodhanand, he became overwhelmed and he came here to Braj, and nobody can write about Vrindavan like Prabodhanand Saraswati. He has written so many, there's this wonderful book, Vrindavan Mahima Mitra Amrita, describing the glories of Srivan. Nobody, he writes so wonderfully. He describes everything about this Vrindavan is so wonderful that if even, he says, if you even think about going any other place, you know, you're just a fool. He says, just like there's so many people that are doing, just like now it is cold season, so we see so many eye camps are there, and even in Mathura there's a place where you can get artificial legs. But Prabodhananda Saraswati, he prays, let me go to Vrindavan and then cut off my legs so I cannot go anywhere else. And he gives a very severe warning to the FRO. If anybody tells me to leave Vrindavan, I should cut out his tongue. He says, if anybody tells me to leave Vrindavan, I will cut out his tongue. He says, if my feet want to take me out of Vrindavan, I will take a rock and I will smash them. He said, even if I have to suffer extreme heat without any shelter, even a drop of water to drink, and I have suffering from fever like malaria, even if in the winter I have to freeze in freezing cold without any shelter or any blanket to cover me, I will not move one inch out of this Vrindavan. So we can just pray that somehow or other we'll be able to get that type of appreciation for Vrindavan. That even though we have to leave, as Maharaj said, Vrindavan will never leave our hearts. At least we can pray that much. If we have to go from here, at least we should take Vrindavan with us. Or otherwise, just like somebody told me yesterday, they were going to, some nice devotees from England, they were coming to Vrindavan for the first time, and they were going to Jaipur. And I had to warn them that if you go to Jaipur, and if you go to see Govindaji, I have to give very special warning. You see my body here. I've never been able to take my heart back from Govinda's lotus feet. So if you go to Jaipur and you go to see Govindadev, I warn you, your body will go back to England, but you'll have to leave your heart. And same thing, if you come here on this yatra for 7 days with Radhanath Swami, your body may go back to Mumbai or wherever, but your heart will never leave this Vrindavan. Because especially we should travel in Vrindavan in association of devotees, very expert devotees like His Holiness Radhanath Swami. Just like when Jagadananda came here, then Mahaprabhu, he finally gave him permission to go to Vrindavan. He said, you stay with Sanatana Goswami and you move around with him and see all the holy places like that. And he said, as far as the local people, you will not understand. Neither you offend them. Whatever you see may they be doing, the Vrishbhasi is doing, you don't offend them. He said, neither you associate closely with them. You stay with Sanatana Goswami and you see all the 12 forests. So like that, we're very fortunate that we're all here in the association of His Holiness Radhanath Swami and seeing this, we'll see all these wonderful places of Vrindavan. Now that we've said Prabodhananda and Saraswati's name and we're also discussed this Kadamba, Prabodhananda and Saraswati, not only about Vrindavan, even about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because it's only the mercy of Mahaprabhu that we're all sitting here today. Mahaprabhu came here, he personally discovered Radhakund and Shyamakund, he ordered the Goswamis to excavate all. We're only sitting here because of Mahaprabhu's mercy. And Prabodhananda Saraswati, he writes, Nindatvam pulakotkarena visakasam nipa prasunaschavim prodi kritya bhujadvayam hari hari Uchayavadantam muhu Nrityantam drutramasru nirjayachayai Sinchantam urvitalam Gayantam nijaparsharai paribritam Sri Gaura Chandra Numa. He says, Nindatvam. We know this word, Ninda, Sadhu Ninda. What is he saying? Nindatvam pulakot karena vikasam nipa prasunashtapim. That when Mahaprabhu, pulakot means when his body has become filled with thrill bumps by chanting the holy name of Krishna. That beauty of that golden body of Mahaprabhu, even if you have vikas, nipam, vikasa. Nip means kadamba. Even if you have a beautiful kadamba flower, fully blossom kadamba flower. Even if you have prasunas chavim, even if you have a whole bunch of those beautiful kadamba flowers, we were just describing them. Beautiful golden color like Srimati Radha. And this is such a nice example. Because as I explained, this kadamba flower, he's not one. He's many, many tiny little flowers. So his surface is what? It's up and down, up and down. Just like when you have thrill bumps on your body, then it's up and down, up and down. And from inside every little flower we know, tiny little things like hairs come out. So when we have thrill bumps, those little hairs are standing on end. So like that, if you have a whole bunch of these kadamba flowers, just like the beautiful complexion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, up and down, little hairs standing on end. But he says, Nindatvam! That Mahaprabhu is so beautiful that he... His beauty criticizes the beauty of these beautiful kadamba flowers, even if you have a whole bunch of them fully blossomed. Ninda Trampula Kona Kot Karena Vikasam Nipa Prasuna Shtip. If you have a whole bunch of them. Mahaprabhu's beauty, just ninda. He does the ninda of these kadamba flowers. Prori Kritya Bhuja Dvayam. Hari Hari. Prori, his two bhuj, we know bhuj, two arms. Prori Kritya Bhuja Dvayam. Bhuja Dvayam, two. Prori Kritya, they're extended. They're raised up to the sky. And what is he doing? He's chanting, Hari Hari! Hari Hari! Hari Hari! Hari Hari Uchaya Vadanta Muhu. Muhu means again and again and again and again. He's just chanting, Hari Hari!
Hari Hari!
Prodi Kritya Bhuja Dayam Hari Hari Uchaya Vadanta Muhu. Nritya Tam Drutam Asru Nirjara Chay Nritya. We were just talking about Lord Krishna dancing on this Kaliya snake. Like that. So the same one, Nritya Tam Drutam, that Lord Chaitanya in the Rath Yatra, he's dancing very wildly. And what's happening? Huh? Asru Nirjara Chay, from his eyes, cascades. Nirjara Chayai means cascades of water are pouring from his eyes. It appears that that same Ganga that came from the toe of Lord Vaman now is appearing from the eyes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sinchantam Urvi Thalam. Thal, you know, just like we say Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami. This was that? Nuvam Vishnu Madaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale. Bhutale. So he says Urvi Thalam. Urvi is another name for the earth. He says Urvi Thalam. What is happening to the surface? We are saying that Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he's very dear to Krishna Bhutale on the surface of this earth. But that Sinchantam Urvi Thalam, the whole surface of the earth is becoming flooded with those tears of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Srila Prabhupada has taken those tears and put them into books, and he has flooded the whole Urvi Thalam, the whole surface of the world, with these wonderful books so that people will read them and they'll come here on this yatra and enjoy all these wonderful places, become purified here in Vrindavan. Gayantam Nija Parshadai Parivritam. He's Gayantam, he's chanting. Nija Parshadai Parivritam. He's surrounded Nija by his very, very intimate associates. Gayantam Nija Parshadai Parivritam. He's surrounded by all his wonderful Nityananda Prabhu, Srivas, Advaita Charya, Gadadhar, all these wonderful Brakeshwar Pandit, all these wonderful devotees are there, Swarup Damodar, Govinda, so many wonderful devotees are there surrounding him. Sri Gaurachandra Numa. He's saying, I'm glorifying. One is Namo, one is Numa. Numa means I'm glorifying. That Gaurachandra, that golden moon who's appeared from Navadvip Dham. Godrum Akhanana Kunja Vidum, that golden moon from Godrum. I'm just praising him again and again. So Prabodhananda and this Kadamba here, this verse simply came to my mind. We have to pay our repeated dandavas to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for giving us the Sankirtan movement, inspiring Srila Prabhupada to go and save fallen souls like us. So we've come here, let us bathe in this wonderful lake of Vaishnavas and flow with this river of Vaishnavas. Now we're going to take a river of Vaishnavas all over Braj. So let us flow in that river of Vaishnavas, and gradually we will just follow that wonderful ecstatic flow back to home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki!